Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary, reflecting on a story in the Gospel of Mark, when a man with a withered hand reaches out to Jesus and is healed. But it's the Sabbath, and so the Pharisees go ballistic. But we'll begin first with another story. A Catholic woman I know grew up in St Kilda, with a synagogue at the end of her street. One Friday night, when the Sabbath was already underway, there was a knock at the door. Her parents were sitting in their pyjamas and dressing gowns reading, but her mother answered the door anyway, and there she found a few of their neighbours, Orthodox Jewish men. "The lights are out in the synagogue," they said. "We can't turn them on," because it was something they were forbidden to do on the Sabbath. "We can't turn them on, so would you mind coming and switching the fuse?" My friend's mother said, "But I'm in my dressing gown." "Don't worry," they said. "It's pitch black there. Nobody will see a thing." So she retied her dressing gown extra tight, and they all went down to the synagogue. When they went in, she found the congregation chanting and praying in the darkness. Very quietly, she and her companions fumbled their way to the fuse box. She reached up. Then she stood on her tippy toes and stretched even further. But she was very short. She couldn't reach. There was some whispering. Then one of the men suggested that she stand on a chair. So my friend's mother found a chair, carried her over, climbed up onto it, and switched over the fuse. Wow! All the lights came on, and she found herself standing at the very front of a very large congregation, in the blazing light, on a chair, in her dressing gown. This lovely story is a great illustration of what the Sabbath means for many people. No work at all. Not even switching on a light or changing a fuse. Many Christians used to live like this, and my own mum told me that when she was a girl, Sundays never, ever, ever, ever seemed to end. In her Christian family, they could turn on a light switch, but not the oven or the stove. And so Sunday meant eating cold leftovers. It meant going to church twice, or maybe three times if there was a special prayer service or some missionaries in town. And it meant no fun, no giggling, no loud playing, no getting silly, no cubbies, no roller skating. Instead, when they weren't at church, the kids had to stay quietly in their rooms, either resting or reading Christian literature. She couldn't even catch up on her homework. Many Christians now laugh at this way of life and at Jewish people who won't turn on a light switch and at the Pharisees who insist on the observance of the Sabbath. For tonight's story is often read as Jesus getting rid of the Sabbath, a reading which means that most Christians nowadays have pretty much dispensed with the Sabbath altogether. And they feel free to go shopping, clean house, play sport, and even, like this pastor, and like every pastor, work every Sunday. But to think that Jesus is getting rid of the Sabbath is, I'd suggest, a misreading. Jesus is not throwing out God's gift of a seven-day cycle of work and rest. The Sabbath is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a positive good. It's a gift of time with family, neighbour and God. It's a gift to workers that for one day each week they do not need to produce or perform. It's a gift to the good earth that for one day nothing is taken and nothing consumed. It's a gift which teaches all of us that we are unnecessary and yet valued. It's a gift of love and it's a gift of joy. The laws of Moses were good. Don't make the mistake of dismissing them. They established a culture and formed a social contract which promised life even for the most vulnerable. They were a means of enacting love, and at their heart they were about cultivating neighbourliness. The neighbourliness which allows even the lowliest worker to have a day off every week. Sabbath was part of the glue which defined the group, and it was a mechanism which enabled all its members to gather at least once a week to sing, pray, listen to sacred texts, talk and eat together. The problems arose not from the rule itself, but when the rule became the point. It doesn't mean that we throw the rule out, the rule of Sabbath or the other rules. It means that in every situation, we consider whether established rules and culture build up or tear down neighbourly relationships, and this requires ongoing discernment. We can do this, ironically, using another rule, but only one rule. When Jesus was asked which is the most important commandment, he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, love God, neighbor, and self. This is the one rule which runs rings around everything else, the one rule which undergirds the neighborliness demanded by the law and the prophets, the one rule to ring them all and in the darkness bind them. For this rule alone brings light. I began with a story about Sabbath rest and turning on the light. Did you notice that it was also about neighbors? Jewish neighbors who felt comfortable asking a Catholic woman to trot down the street in her dressing gown and turn on the lights. And a Catholic woman who didn't hesitate to serve her Jewish friends. One rule ran rings around the other rules of purity, cross-cultural communication, and modesty, and it brought light. In the last few weeks, I've had a bit of contact with some new people, and I've been invited to join a group, Pride and Diversity Warrnambool. Some members of the group are perceived by many Christians as breaking some rules set down in Leviticus and elsewhere in the Bible. All the same, these people are also our neighbours. Yet several of them have described to me experiences of Christians and churches as being, shall we say, less than neighbourly. Some of them have been estranged from their Christian families. Some of them have experienced persecution in public. And while some of them are confident, others are fearful, especially around churches. And yet this group, this network, is seeking allies and spiritual care. And so it has reached out to us. As a congregation, it would be easy for us to try and stay pure and holy, to remind people of the rules, to turn away from the outstretched hand, and to turn our backs on relationship. We do not heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus tells us that there is one rule to ring them all, the rule of love. The leadership team and I believe that this overrules any other consideration, and therefore we will choose for our neighbours and choose for relationship. It's the more difficult option, and it could cost us relationship with some other Christians. I hope not, but we don't know. Even so, this is something we are prepared to risk, because we believe that responding to a neighbour's outstretched hand is faithful to the way of Jesus Christ. When he ate with sinners, he infuriated good religious people. And as we heard tonight, when he turned to the man with the outstretched hand, the religious types were thrown into a frenzy. In fact, they began to plot his downfall. This is all part of the story. But let's not forget the other bits of the story. The sinners he ate with turned to God, and there was great rejoicing in heaven. The man with the withered hand who reached towards Jesus experienced restoration and healing. And after every persecution and downfall, there is new life, a new community, a community which is transformed by the power of love. So let's lean into the best bits of the story and love our neighbours as we love ourselves. One rule rings all the others. So let's risk being exposed as we reach and turn on the light. Amen. That's all for tonight. Thanks for listening.